No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as he always does, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hi-ho, everyone.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yeah.
You know what time it is?
Is it peanut butter jelly time?
It is peanut butter jelly time.
Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Now, there you go. There you go.
Yes,
that's going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
I actually wrote down the whole origin of that. today, we thought we would look at internet memes. What are they? How do they get started? Kind of give you guys the lowdown on it, because this is one of those things where it's a word that's out there that, you know, you see it attached to stuff and then you're thinking, yeah, but ultimately, what is a meme?
Yeah. Yep.
And it's actually one of those words that's very kind of challenging to define. So
yes.
To really get a grip on the whole meaning of meme, you have to – let's just leave the internet behind for a minute here.
Yeah, because it's not limited to the internet.
No, the term itself comes from a book written back in 1976.
Wow.
Yes.
All the way back then. That was like so 20th century.
Yeah. It's 1976, a year after a certain shark was terrorizing the movie theaters, and a year before a certain hero from Tatooine would blow up the Death Star. Mm-hmm. It was written by Richard Dawkins, and yes. The book was called The Selfish Gene. Now, in this book, he proposed a concept of a meme, which is a unit of cultural transmission or a unit of imitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the study of such a thing would be called memetics.
Yes.
So meme is the accepted pronunciation, although some people call it mem.
And well, I would figure you would assume that from memetics.
Right.
But I haven't heard anybody call it memetics.
No, but E-M-E-M-E, you think it's either meme or meme-y. At any rate, it's not Beaker from the Muppets. It's
although he is in many different memes.
Yes. So anyway, if you're talking about a unit of cultural transmission, this could really be practically anything within a culture.
Oh, yeah.
For example, handshakes.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a cultural meme because it's going to be unique to a specific culture. And then not only do you have memes propagate and spread throughout a culture, but they can mutate over time and change over time as people begin to alter them in little ways, whether that's consciously or not. And for example, with the handshake, you could get the things like the high five.
Yes.
You know? So that would be a good example where the high five is really just kind of a adaptation, a mutation of the handshake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this whole idea of a unit of cultural transmission kind of made its way onto the internet pretty early on. And I remember the first time I ever encountered the word meme, it was actually on the web. Mm-hmm. I had not read Dawkins' book, so I was not familiar with his definition of what a meme was.
Yes.
For the longest time, I thought meme was just a specific term for those really annoying quizzes that people would send around. It'd be like, you know, the 20 questions about you. And it was just a series of questions that you would answer that would give people who read the list a little more of an idea of who you were and what makes you tick. Things like, you know, what your favorite color is and what kind of foods you like and have you ever kissed a girl in the back of a car? That kind of stuff. I mean, just tons and tons of lists. And then some people might, you know, usually at the end of it say something like send this to several more people and then have them send it back to you so you can learn all about everybody around you and share minute details of your life.
Defining a meme, you're doing it wrong.
Well, that's the thing here is that for the longest time, that's what I thought a meme was. It was only that. But that's just one kind of a meme because, mm-hmm. again, that list was spread virally across multiple networks of friends. And then people might read that list and think, well, that's kind of interesting, but I think I can think of a few questions I want to have answered that aren't on this list. I'm going to add them. Mm-hmm. And then so the list kind of changes. And then other people are like, oh, that's kind of lame. I'm going to make a whole different list of goofy questions.
Yes.
Just as a joke. And then so, again, the meme continues to evolve and mutate over time.
Yes. So basically it's an idea that gets spread.
Yes.
The first encounter I had with it was an article in Wired magazine some time back, and it was just they did define it. And when you have the opportunity to look around on the internet and in popular culture, you know, it's easy to the idea of a meme is readily apparent once you mm-hmm. understand the definition. You go, "Okay, yeah, I totally get that." And it's funny because it's become pretty well universally adopted, I think, at this point. People go, I've seen Facebook posts that say things like, I wish this annoying meme would quit.
Yeah.
You know, somebody stop. You know, I know a million people who I could get to stop this meme. Okay, maybe not.
But even so, I bet if you ask most of the people who encounter that word to define it, they would have difficulty doing so.
Yeah.
Because
they know what it is, but they can't say what it is.
Right. It's kind of like art. I know what it is when I see it.
Yes.
You know? All right. So we were going to talk about some internet memes, kind of give you a background on where they came from. And before we really get into that, I thought I would mention one other thing that I think is really interesting about memes.
Okay.
Which is that the most successful memes, in my view, are the ones that develop naturally.
Yes.
That someone unleashes an idea that may or may not be funny immediately.
Yeah.
Or relevant or whatever. And then over time, it gets more and more, more people notice it over time.
Yes.
And then maybe tweak it and change it a little bit. And then, but it all happens naturally. No one's forcing it. Now, the ones where people do try to force it, and they do call them force memes, being, you know, various people on the internet, mostly 4chan. But anyway, the birthplace of many a meme, as we will get into.
Many, many memes.
If not the birthplace, at least the place where they start to take off.
Germinate.
Yeah. So a forced meme would be one where someone creates something specifically with the intention of it going out there and exploding on the internet and getting changed around and altered and tweaked and to propagate like that. And often it's either an attempt to get notoriety or to maybe even do some sort of marketing. Those don't work as well. Because I think a lot of people pick up on that pretty quickly if there's not a genuine, you know, just a, wow, this thing is pretty funny or this thing is just crazy. I can't believe someone did this. If there's a forced meme thing behind it, it doesn't feel genuine.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
and people abandon it. No, go ahead.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, yeah, unfortunately for some who don't intend their actions to become memes, some of these things take off virally and uncontrollably, and it has affected many people's lives. But I figure we're going to talk about a couple of those people in a few minutes.
Yeah, so in some cases, we're talking about people who created something without any intention of it turning into an explosive internet hit.
Yes.
And then having to endure some pretty heavy-duty teasing, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Yeah.
So we started off by talking at the very beginning of this podcast, so we made a reference to peanut butter jelly time.
Yes, we did.
Which references a very specific meme. If you're not familiar with it, that means you weren't on the internet back in probably 2002 or so. It's a flash animation.
Yes, about 2002.
Flash animation of a banana. Of course.
Yes, because who's better prepared to sing about peanut butter jelly time than a banana?
Yeah, it's the dancing banana animated emoticon, which
yes.
is just this little banana that just kind of bounces back and forth a little bit and has a big grin. And
very 8-bit.
Yeah, and it's set to a song called Peanut Butter Jelly Time by the Buckwheat Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just the song's pretty repetitive and
pretty
annoying.
Repetitive
peanut butter jelly
well,
with a baseball bat.
It's not as repetitive as say badger badger badger,
right?
But yes,
or potter potter potter, the yes. the Harry Potter parody of badger badger badger. Have you seen that?
No, actually
I'll
I
be
haven't.
Showing that to you after the podcast.
You know what, a bunch of people are going to write in after they look these memes up, and you know we're going to get lots of OMGs on our
yeah, especially the people who are like I had never heard of that and now I can never unhear it.
Yes, that's the problem
so,
with memes.
So yeah, this little flash animation just showed this banana yelling out it's peanut butter jelly time. Actually mm-hmm. the banana wasn't saying anything.
Yeah,
it was just
isn't...
playing in the background. The banana's just looking like a maniac. And then you hear it's peanut butter jelly time by the Buckwheat Boys. And that was created the flash animation was created by a couple of guys who were posting to offtopic.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of got picked up later on newgrounds.com, and then
that's another good place to find memes.
Yeah. And from those boards it spread out, and then it actually spread out so far that it affected other parts of popular culture. It even appeared on an episode of Family Guy.
Yes, it did.
Where Brian dresses up as the banana in an attempt to cheer up a very despondent Peter, and it does not work. And then Brian just keeps on going anyway, because, you know, once you're in peanut butter jelly time,
yeah.
you don't get out.
That's pretty much it.
But yeah, that's and we should also add that we're getting a lot of this information from a wonderful web resource.
Oh yeah, this is by the people who brought you the internet news tech news podcast Rocket Boom.
Yeah.
So it's a, you know, an authoritative source.
They have knowyourmeme.com.
Yes, write that down, knowyourmeme.com.
Yeah, so if you ever come across a meme, you can go to knowyourmeme.com and do a search for it, and there's a good chance they're going to have an entry on there. And sometimes they do a full episode where they break down the origin of a meme, and it's really definitive and thorough work.
The one for peanut butter jelly time was excellent. I liked
it. I have to say that, yes, exactly.
It was very good.
A very attractive young lady, one of the presenters, dressed as a banana, delivering the very serious peanut butter jelly time.
Yes.
Derivation. Yeah, so we do recommend that. It's a great source. But we thought we'd talk a little bit about some of the other memes that we've encountered and some of our favorites. And
okay.
Why don't you go ahead and
hit meme.
One.
Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah, you do one.
Okay. Well, you know, I actually found a list of on Earlesque, which is one of the AOL.com sites. They posted their 100 most iconic internet videos and wanted to see which ones that I had heard of. Number 11 was one that went around a while ago. You know, Numa Numa?
Ah, yes. Numa Numa.
Yes.
Numa Numa.
They're, actually, this one was not really a forced meme, but it was intentionally posted by the author, who is Gary Brolsma, who is singing along with a song, or actually appears to be singing along with a song. You actually hear the real version.
The Dragosti Tinda?
Yes.
Dinta. Dinta. That's what it was.
And he is, you know, basically having a good time hanging out at his computer and
pumping his fist in the air, lip syncing. It's an infectiously good time. I mean, he looks like a total spaz doing this dance and lip syncing, but
he did it on purpose.
Right. And so he did this with the intention of showing it to some friends, and then his friends showed it to some other people, and then it exploded from there.
It hit new grounds, which is where he put it on there. And, you know, he's getting, millions of views. And this is, you know, as they pointed out on the website there at Earl Esk. This was before YouTube, so it was getting millions of hits even before YouTube made it really simple for people to thrust a meme out into the public eye on a quick basis.
Now, later on, he tried to recreate that success with a couple of other videos that didn't have the same sort of viral effect as his first one.
Yeah.
Probably because, again, it was kind of coming across as a forced meme at that point. You know, it's the first time it all kind of exploded naturally, just as people got interested in it. But no one wants to be spoon-fed or force-fed something.
Yeah. So right. What's you want to?
I'm going to go out of the gate with my favorite one of all time.
Okay.
Ninjas versus pirates.
And it's pirates all the way.
It is pirates all the way.
We're going to get a bunch of ninja. There's always a bunch of ninja fans.
They don't write in. Because if they do, they reveal where they are. The ninjas can't write in. We might get some blank slips of paper written in invisible ink. Yeah. But no. Yeah. Ninjas, if you are a real ninja, you're not going to write in. Except for Ask a Ninja. That guy, he's a... You can't shut him up. So, actually, I love that show, too. But Ninjas versus Pirates. So, this is a weird meme in that it's kind of hard to say where this one came from. As early as 1989, there was an Atari arcade game called Skull and Crossbones, where you got to play as pirates, and you normally would fight against other pirates, but you also fought ninjas. But in 2003, you had Robert Hamburger parodying ninjas in a series of posts on Real Ultimate Power, where he would give synopses of movies movie ideas he had for ninjas, and in several of them ninjas would fight pirates and the ninjas always won. Actually, ninja, I should say, because that's the plural. Now I'm gonna have to do the Schenectady shuffle. You don't get that unless you listen to stuff you should know. Enough of a plug for them, but
yeah, I would point out too that it's gone so far as I've seen a Wii video game called Ninjas versus Pirates Dodgeball.
Yes,
it may be backwards. Pirates versus, I don't know.
I've actually
there is a game in which ninjas and pirates fight each other in dodgeball.
I have a friend who on his birthday had a ninja versus pirate dodgeball tournament. I was unable to attend. I did get to see the bruises later, but yeah. So that's one of those memes that the origin is kind of, you know, foggy. We're not really sure how that took off, but it really has taken off. It's probably not as popular now as it used to be, but you can still find plenty of sites dedicated to the whole ninja pirate animosity. I once created a similar rivalry between conquistadors and Yeti, but that hasn't really taken off.
I have seen people try to insert zombies into the equation to make it sort of a three-way battle, but you know, nobody's done it so much so that the ninja versus pirate thing.
Yeah, no. Next. You
know, zombies, okay. Let's go with a quite persistent meme.
Okay.
Lolcats.
Ah, yes. Now, this is another one we can thank sites like 4chan for.
Yes, this is we'd love to tell you exactly who it was that came up with this idea, but as far as I know, it was posted anonymously to 4chan. And nobody knows, well, somebody knows exactly who it was that decided to put a picture of a cat, take a picture of a cat and put some silly caption over it in sort of pidgin English. And
what we call lol speak now.
Yes, it's evolved now to the point where you can have whole conversations in it.
And lolcats may have actually evolved from an earlier captioned animal photo, the O'Reilly owl.
Oh yes, I love the O'Reilly owl.
So this is a snow owl that looks surprised because its beak is open and its eyes are wide open. So it looks like it's O'Reilly. That's but it's spelled O'Reilly,
which is sort of a text, you know, text messaging shorthand.
And it's kind of a way of trolling a site. Like someone says something, whether or not it's surprising or not. Actually, more often it's when it's not surprising.
Yes.
Someone says something that's really obvious, and then in response, someone posts the photo of the owl that says, "Oh, really?" on it. The proper response to that, by the way, is Yeah, Really, which is a barn owl that looks really angry.
Yeah.
And then the third response would be, no way, which is I think it's a hawk with its mouth wide or beak yeah. wide open.
Yes.
No way spelled N-O-W-A-I. And that started, the earliest usage of that came from the Something Awful forums.
Again, this is a breeding ground for things such as this and usually quite funny.
Right. And then 4chan picked it up and ran with it.
Right.
And then that's probably where the lolcats thing kind of, because, you know, that sort of served as the foundation for things like lolcats and the bucket walrus, the lolrus.
Lolrus.
Which actually was not a walrus.
It wasn't.
It was an obese seal.
Who apparently,
died 2 years ago.
Which is sad.
Yeah. Man, now he's in bucket heaven. He's got all the buckets he could want.
Now, this is where memes get to be big business, because an entrepreneur named Ben He actually purchased a website called IcanHasCheeseburger.com mm-hmm. and has made a business off of some people are angry at him for somebody else has started the site and he purchased the site along with some other ones. There's one about dogs.
And I failed forgot. Dogs?
No, it's not failed dogs. IHasAHotDog.com.
Oh, right.
And there are pictures of dogs with similar captions. Dogs doing funny things and, you know, even funnier now that you've put a caption over it. These sites allow you to submit your own photos. You can even use the generator to take an existing photo and put a different caption on there and submit it.
Which is really where we're coming through the whole meme thing in the first place. Like if all this was just a photo of a particular cat, like the hang in there baby cat.
Yeah.
And that's all it was just a hang in there baby cat. No one ever altered it or it didn't really spread beyond that. It wouldn't be a meme.
Yeah.
But because it's taken on a life of its own where now you see a picture of a cat with some funny text and you think, oh, that's a lolcat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you could actually take that same photo and put different text on it. And then you've just, you know, made that meme go a little bit further.
Yep.
And
then, you know, it's spawned sub memes like ceiling cat and basement cat,
right,
which are
right.
the, you know,
God
equivalent
and devil.
Of God and the devil yeah. as cats, a white cat and a black cat. And all sorts of other little sub memes from there. The itty bitty kitty committee.
Well, speaking of cats.
Yes.
In 1986, a special video was taken. Do you know mm-hmm. where I'm going with this?
Yes, I think I do.
1986, a video of a cat named Fatso.
Yes.
Owner Charlie Schmitz creates a video where he manipulates his cat Fatso wearing a little onesie,
mm-hmm.
playing a keyboard.
Yep.
And that video was, like I said, back in 1986. Okay, so let's skip forward to 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends uploaded, or he actually, I guess, uploaded it to YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Just a video of his cat, this goofy video of a cat playing a keyboard.
That enter Brad O'Farrell.
Yes. Who then asks permission to use this video to
nice
play,
guy.
To play off another video
uh-huh.
of a guy strapped to a, I think it was an office chair falling down an escalator.
Yes.
Yeah. It looked really painful. And then at the end of it, it cuts to the keyboard cat playing the keyboard where the cat is playing off the guy falling down the escalator. The idea being that it's like from vaudeville days when your act starts to totally tank and the giant hook comes from off stage and hooks you and then pulls you off stage. Same idea. Keyboard cat is to essentially say that was a complete failure. You are done now.
Mm-hmm.
And, so keyboard cat, yeah, it's become, that was a big meme. Probably, I would say last year was really when it kind of peaked and then started to go away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's another great, YouTube video that was also a huge meme for a while until it died on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm going with this?
I don't know with that intro.
You must have given me up. You must have let me down. Now you're running around and hurting me.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm talking about Rickrolling, buddy.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
How could you forget about Rickrolling?
I had tried very hard to put it out of my mind.
Wow.
I didn't even write it down on purpose.
You're a greater man than I, Gunga Dean. So Rickrolling, yeah, the Rick Astley Never Gonna Give You Up video.
This was sort of a do-it-yourself meme because a lot of people went to a great effort to disguise the video of Rick Astley's song as something else so that they could open it and suddenly Rick Astley was singing.
Yeah, you might get like 5 seconds of whatever it is you thought it was supposed to be, and then suddenly Rick Astley breaks in and he's singing to you. And, yeah, the was it the Cartoon Network float at Thanksgiving?
Yes. That was the culmination, I think, of the phenomenon.
Yeah, where during the Thanksgiving Day parade, and by this time the Rickrolling meme had already kind of played out.
Yeah.
People were pretty much over that meme. And that's the other thing. These memes do have a lifespan. Some of them will last for years, and some of them will, you know, peak for a couple of months and then just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
This was one that had some staying power, but it kind of started to die out. And then on Thanksgiving Day, during the Thanksgiving parade, Cartoon Network float comes up, and in the middle of the Cartoon Network float's presentation, it suddenly, you hear Rick Astley's music start, and he popped out and sang to the crowd.
Which is kind of an indication that he's a good sport about the whole thing, apparently.
Oh, no, he apparently loves it. he says that, you know, if people are getting enjoyment out of his music, however that may be, more power to him. I'm like, that's a great attitude.
That is. It really is.
You got any others you want to chat about?
Yeah, I was thinking about mentioning Steve Spangler.
Steve Spangler.
Yes, who in 2002 appeared on a TV segment. He's a, you know, physics teacher. So, you know, he appears on KUSA TV and demonstrates that if you drop some breath mints, specifically Mentos, in a bottle of soda, there's an eruption.
Right.
And it's, you know, a cheap and easy experiment to replicate. So all of a sudden, around 2005, everyone started doing that. And there were not only people doing this in their own backyard and posting it to YouTube, there were people orchestrating large events in which there were chain reactions of
choreographed
reactions fountains of soda spattering everyone and anyone.
It was even featured on the popular television series Mythbusters, owned by Discovery Communications. And, parent company of HowStuffWorks.com. And, that's a good one. That's another example of people really running with a specific meme. Here's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little phrase that is near and dear to my heart because it is actually found on a t-shirt I gave to my wife for Valentine's Day this year. It comes from a little video game called Zero Wing.
Yes.
All your base are belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is also kind of the origin for LOL speak in a way. It's the idea of this, this poorly translated text from, in this case, a video game from Japan. So often derogatively referred to as English.
Mm-hmm.
This game had lots of different passages in it that were, torturous to read, including all your base are belong to us and someone set us up the bomb.
Yes.
All your base are belong to us exploded on the internet, and has been around ever since. And indeed was on a ThinkGeek t-shirt, which is what I purchased for my wife.
Awesome.
As a Valentine's Day gift, which was roses are red, violets are blue. All my base are belong to you. We wanted to talk about some of the people who weren't necessarily intending on becoming internet superstars.
I have one for you that will let you keep yours.
All right.
This name may or may not be familiar to you at first glance. Andrew Meyer.
Andrew Meyer.
September 17th, 2007, at the University of Florida, he confronted Senator John Kerry at an event to ask him about the Skull and Bones, which is this secretive organization at mm-hmm. Yale. And actually, they wanted to escort him out. Security tried to get him to leave. And in the process, he inadvertently created the meme better known to the world as "Don't tase me, bro."
Right.
They what did.
Yeah, they, twice, as I recall. Yes.
And then actually, I just thought of something. I'll still let you keep yours. The whole Kanye thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you finish.
Right, right. Yeah, that was definitely
a meme.
Now, granted, that one was intentional. Come on. Kanye is always about grabbing the attention.
That's true, but it became a meme.
But
recent.
I was thinking specifically of Star Wars Kid.
Yes, I know.
Andy Bio of waxy.org discovered this video. It was Andy's not the name of the kid, by the way. Andy's the name of the guy who discovered it, and he discovered it back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the kid was Gislan Raza,
mm-hmm.
who in 2002 filmed himself with a golf ball retriever and was going through a series of semi kind of martial arts sort of moves and making noises at the time. Now, Gislan was a hefty young lad, and was very enthusiastic. He was clearly having a great time and just enjoying, in a way, very similar to the Numa Numa guy.
Yeah.
You know, clearly enjoying himself. But he had not intended for this video to ever be seen by anyone else, necessarily.
Unfortunately, he left it in the studio where other people could find it.
And the other people thought it was hysterical and uploaded it to the internet, and then it got lots and lots of views, and Gislan, as a result, was the subject of much teasing and derision, and ultimately left school, reportedly finished school in a psychiatric ward.
Wow.
That also shows you that sometimes 4chan will do whatever 4chan wants to do in order to create hilarity for 4chan, and it doesn't matter if someone gets hurt in the process. Doing it for the lulz, in other words.
Yeah. Other people took the video and basically superimposed the lightsaber effect onto the golf ball grabber and you know, added the sound effects and did all this.
Yeah, there are lots of remixes, which is also a very common theme in memes. You'll find lots of different remixes. I got one other quick little example, which is OK Go.
Oh, yes.
So OK Go has a couple of different music videos, including A Million Ways to Be Cruel and Here It Goes Again, both of which are pretty low-budget music videos where the group kind of did simple one-take shots of them performing a dance routine. And their fans have created their own versions of these dance routines and uploaded them to YouTube, so much so that it's become a meme itself. And not that the band intended it to be a meme, they just thought it'd be a fun, low-budget way to create music videos. We're going to have to wrap this up, unfortunately. We could do a whole series of episodes on memes, but we're running out of time, and so I guess we're going to... Do you have one more you want to end with? Or?
Well, one that was sort of introduced to me was one that sort of had its genesis in the release of a movie by someone completely unrelated to the meme. On March 4th, 2005, Vin Diesel was in The Pacifier, the release of that movie. Someone in the Somewhat Something Awful forums, see, there's that site again, it's another good place to find memes. Ian Spector apparently decided to point out how cool and tough Vin Diesel was. So they made up a bunch of facts about how tough he was. And, you know, the memes started to lose steam. So they said, okay, well, who should we create a fact generator for to talk about how tough he is? Well, the favorite was Chuck Norris.
Yeah, there was also Mr. T for a while.
Really? Was Mr. T in there?
Yep.
Because I am far more familiar with the Chuck Norris
movie. I've run across Mr. T and Vin Diesel, but Chuck Norris is the one that is definitely the one that took off.
And I could read these and chuckle for hours.
Like Chuck Norris's tears could cure cancer, but he has never cried.
Yes.
Yeah. And when Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups, he pushes the earth down.
Chuck Norris, you know, if he shaved his goatee, there would be a fist.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of jokes that are ripped directly from a Saturday Night Live series of skits called Bill Brasky, but a lot of them also are original. That's a good one.
But yes, that's totally – and there are far more. I have tons and tons of these. You the man now, dog.
And we could – yes, you the man now, dog. We could go on for ages about these, but Jerry's giving us the stink eye, so we need to wrap this up. If you guys have a favorite meme you want to talk about, send us an email. Our email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. And remember, you can tune in every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern, to see us in our live show while we do our song and dance routine for your entertainment pleasure. Mostly we talk about technology, but sometimes news is light that week. But you can find that at blogs.howstuffworks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.